everybody loves a night out, whether it's seeing your favorite band in person or maybe being there in the crowd to cheer on your favorite team. Well, with the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program, you can go to the concert or show of your choice and earn credit towards your next live event. Vivid Seats is the top source for tickets for all the live events you want to go to. You can sort by price or look for seats in the section and row of your choice, all in the Vivid Seats app. To make things even better, Vivid Seats now has a loyalty program that allows fans to earn credit back. All you need to do is use the Vivid Seats app to purchase tickets and start earning today. Go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. Fans are automatically enrolled in the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program. Every purchase is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee. From the biggest concerts and games to the hottest theater shows and more, Vivid Seats has it all. Download the app and join the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program today. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let the Vivid Seats app help you get to your favorite live event. Enter promo code ESPN25 for 10% off your next order.
The very latest on Ezekiel Elliott and where he may be on the Le'Veon Bell meter. Also, Team USA's difficulty in finding 15 guys. And the Kobe apocalypse is upon us. 13 all decade. With very official list, by the way, with this panel. Let's go.
How many Kobe apocalypses have there been already?
Who put this out that this is just like opinion makers on NBA.com and this is elevated to the level, escalated to the level?
Crazy.
We'll get to it in a second. Josina Anderson report. Ezekiel Elliott will not play for the Cowboys without a new deal. Let's just start right there, National Paddle. Bill Plaschke, do you believe it's gotten to that point? And how should the Cowboys feel if it has in fact gotten to that point?
They should feel like going into their wallet and paying him now. I know all this talk about running backs being disposable these days, the bad contracts given perhaps to Gurley and David Johnson. This is a different case. He is indispensable. Elliott is indispensable to this team. He's indispensable to Dak Prescott. He's indispensable to Amari Cooper, and he's indispensable to Jerry Jones, whose window is closing on winning the championship. Prescott's QBR on play action passes is 30 points better when Zeke's on the field.
Ooh.
His completion percentage is 15% better when Zeke is on the field. They need him. They need to pay him. They need to get him in
Bill Plaschke of the LA Times and maybe the future agent of Ezekiel Elliott. We'll see. Sarah Spain, how about you?
Well, Plaschke covered the stats, and the stats have been the same since we started this conversation about Zeke, and so has my opinion been. Jerry Jones is going to pay him. This date today was being used early on in discussions as some sort of indicator that he would need to decide, because if he didn't hit it by August 6th, he would not accrue this season toward free agency. But that only matters for rookies who need four seasons in order to become unrestricted free agents. The Cowboys already exercised the fifth-year option for Zeke, so he can accrue that season next year once they get their deal done and still be an unrestricted free agent. It doesn't matter whether he reports now, unless he cares about $260,000 plus for preseason games, $40,000 per training camp miss. And if they don't want to charge him for that and fine him for that because they decide on a deal, they're not going to. So it's the same it's always been. They're going to pay him. He's going to show up when they do.
Sarah Spain of the That's What She Said podcast at ESPN and ESPN.com and ESPNW and a salary capologist. Israel Gutierrez, is there anything left in the bone here?
I mean, but according to reports, Ezekiel Elliott informed the Cowboys of this back in January, that he would not play an entire season without a new contract. So this does not feel like new information from the Cowboys. And everything that's come out then, while it has been sort of hardline in terms of, what you expect from these types of negotiations, it really hasn't been that bad. And if you read some of the quotes from the sources Josina Anderson mentioned, and she said that he himself doesn't believe that Ezekiel Elliott's holdout will last through into the season. They don't want it. So it feels like Jerry Jones, who is the one who is more invested in this team. Ezekiel Elliott's going to get paid by someone. He's going to try to win for someone. Of course, he'd like to do it with the Cowboys. Jerry Jones is the one who wants him to absolutely stay here, play for them, and is invested in him winning a championship with Elliott.
And Kevin Blackiston, let me be the first to congratulate you on making the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And second, your thoughts on Ezekiel Elliott.
My thoughts on Ezekiel Elliott are historical. I was there in Dallas in 1992 helping cover the Cowboys.
I was there.
Their Super Bowl win that year with a young running back by the name of Emmitt Smith, who led the league in rushing. Guess what? He came into the next year and he was only going to be paid less than $500,000 off after all that he did. So he held out. He held out until game two of the regular season. The Cowboys were 0-2. Finally, Jerry Jones crawled back to the table, gave him the biggest contract a running back had ever gotten in the history of the NFL at that time. And guess what happened to the Cowboys? They became the first team
to lose
the first two games and go back.
You believe that's an analogous situation. The Emmitt Smith and the Ezekiel Elliott's the same for you.
Jerry has been here. Okay. He knows the deal.
It's amazing you did that in under 38 minutes with that Hall of Fame jacket you're wearing. Real quick then, the Le'Veon Bell meter. Anybody thinking there's a chance Ezekiel Elliott could do what Le'Veon Bell did and sit out the entire season? Anybody? Plaschke?
Yeah, absolutely there is. I think you saw what happened with Bell. Bell got a contract. Bell's got a good job. I think he thinks he's healthier. Yes.
Sarah Spain?
He can absolutely do that.
I do think there's a difference between a guy who has not signed his franchise tender and a guy who is technically under contract for another two seasons with the team. Whether or not that matters to Zeke, I certainly think it matters to Jerry Jones and what they're losing out on in terms of their window with him, so they won't let it happen.
Yeah, I think the Pittsburgh situation should be something Jerry Jones takes a look at because that team was expected to do so much last year. Le'Veon Bell didn't show up. They didn't even make the playoffs. Obviously, Jerry Jones is expecting big things from his team. It might not take till the regular season for him to
kick. Blackstone.
Yeah, absolutely could happen. Le'Veon Bell let guys know it's about self-preservation, not only for your wallet, but also for your body. You may lose out on accruing that year in terms of free agency, but you get a year in terms of more tread on your tires.
We move on. Team USA for the Basketball World Cup. It took 50 invitations to get this roster down to 15. Or up to 15. So 35 no's, ranging from LeBron and Curry to Harden and Davis to Tobias Harris and Landry Shamet. Jerry Colangelo, boss of the team, no angst, is how he's quoted. Greg Popovich, he's preaching unity. Sarah, do you see this as a unified, non-angsty Team USA right now?
I feel like the players are not angsty because for them, they were invited because of other guys who turned it down. So they have an opportunity to be a part of this cultural experience of going to China to represent the United States and maybe to get in good and be possibly on the roster for an Olympic year, which has far more excitement and sort of cachet to it. As for the coaches, maybe not so much. If you're Popovich and Steve Kerr, maybe you were hoping to engender relationships with the cream of the crop and now you've got some great players, but maybe not those other guys that you would hope to have the chance to work with. So maybe a little angst up there.
Gutierrez?
I'd be concerned about them not being able to win this, and that sort of creates some meaning for it, because I think we only get interested if they end up losing here, right? If they just do what they're supposed to do and go out there and win, we say, hey, the NBA is the greatest, then we can take our, you know, B-level stars and go out there and win. But there should be some level of concern that they're not going to win this. I think there was an overconfidence back in the, you know, mid-2000s, and you put out a bunch of players that didn't have a chemistry and didn't have a unity, and they lost to teams running simple pick-and-roll plays. And I think the U.S. could possibly find itself in that situation again. I think the one advantage is you have, while they are stars, they are still more role players and are familiar with it and can fill those roles on this team and play hard and play, you know, defense and not be overconfident. I think that might keep this team, you know, winning this gold medal, but they should be concerned.
JB, how do you view this team? The team that started with 50 invites and now finally has 15.
Well, I think this is part of their process, and I think they are trusting it. Remember, after 2004, the debacle at the Olympics, where I think they lost like three games and came back with the bronze, they changed the whole system. Colangelo went out and put together this deal where you're going to have a select team, you're going to have a team that you're practicing with, a team that provides you some sort of depth so that you can pick the players and the stars going into the Olympics, and that's what this is all about. And not only that, but I don't think anybody remembers that, you know what, we've had six of these World Cups now since 94 in which NBA players have been allowed to play, and the U.S. has only won half of them. Yugoslavia's won a couple of them. Spain won one. So you just go through this process now, and you aim towards the Olympics.
But you'd say this is the process working well, that LeBron and Curry can opt out this year but come back for an Olympic year.
Absolutely.
Okay, Plaschke, how about you?
Yeah, the process is working well, and the team is working well. Izzy, I disagree with you completely. I think the U.S. is going to roll through this tournament. The best team in Europe's not even in here. Slovenia, because of the weird rules, FIBA rules, didn't qualify for this World Cup. So they're not going to be in there. The U.S., we still have so many better players than everybody. I think the bigger picture is here, how does Popovich do in his first tenure as coach of this team? How does the team react to him? And how do they behave themselves? Are we good sports? The world's looking at us now with a different sort of look as they have in the past. How are we going to react? How are the players going to react? I think that's a bigger picture. I think that the victory is, I mean, the U.S. is going to win this tournament. There's no question.
Israel, you want to address that?
I mean, Spain's the second-ranked team in the world. They still have Marc Gasol. They still have Ricky Rubio. They still have a lot of players you've heard of. So I think there is still some serious competition in this tournament for the U.S.
All right, we move on. Let's talk the Kobe-pocalypse. Konerbal! NBA.com, NBA TV's unofficial but very official all-decade team. Kobe, third team all-decade for the 2010s. Outrage, indignity, up in arms. Israel, go.
None of the above, at least not for Kobe Bryant, because he didn't play but 6 years in this, in that decade. It wasn't really the best Kobe, and it's the third team. That's perfectly respectable. What Kawhi Leonard is doing on that first team is beyond me. He didn't really come into our lives until about 2013-14, and yes, he won a championship with Toronto. Yes, he might be the best player in the league in 2019, but put some respect on Russell Westbrook, man. That dude had a dominant, decade. Three back-to-back-to-back seasons of triple-doubles and MVP. I mean, he should be on that first team over Kawhi. I know there's position stuff like that, but I just don't
believe
Kawhi
should be on
there as a first team.
Well, I mean, this isn't as stunning as Joe Budden being the number three rapper of all time when the list came out the other day, but it's pretty much up there, and I think you can see how upset Kobe was in that particular photograph. But you know what? I think it's about right for Kobe. We're talking about a guy who barely played half of the decade that you're talking about, in which you should be considering him for something more than third team. He still averaged, what, like 23, 24 points a game in the games and seasons that he did play, made some all-stars and teams and that kind of thing. But you know what? That's not the Kobe that we're going to remember. There have been better players in the last 10 years.
Jared Spain?
Yeah, I mean, it's not just that he only played six seasons, but one of those seasons was three games. One of those seasons was 35 games. One of those seasons was 58 games. These were injury-shortened seasons. That one title, that Finals MVP is great. Well, guess who also has a couple of those in that time span? Andre Iguodala, Finals MVP, and his team won. Dirk Nowitzki, Finals MVP, and his team won. They're not on the list, so you can't limit it to that one year where they're really succeeding. You have to look at the bulk of the material. And, I mean, I'm also equally as surprised, Kevin, that no woman has ever tried to rap and been good at it. That's even crazier than Joe Budden being third.
All right, now we find our way finally in Los Angeles here. Bill Plaschke, please, on Kobe, 13th all decade.
I have to acknowledge it's a proper place for him. I covered him during that time. He was on fumes a lot of that time. He was shooting the ball a lot of that time. He was hurt a lot of that time. I think even Kobe would say so, except for his 60-point retirement game. That was the most, you know, important thing he did, or the most visible thing he did during that time. I think that the reason people are outraged is Kobe, in recent years, since retirement, has become even more famous and more idolized. I think because, number one, LeBron came out here and didn't get it done as trying to be Kobe. Number two, all of his off-the-court things. I think Kobe's become larger than life, but in this case, he was on team. It's a right thing.
All right, four people making this case that Kobe deserves third team at best all decade. Say goodbye to your Menchies. Taking a break right here. Check this out real quick. Baseball Players Day. Here are the uniforms they're going to be unveiling. All white and all black.
Ooh.
Not exactly sure how I feel about that.
Team Reality in the all black right there.
Oh, the drip is so sweet. Oh,
I bet you don't see color.
Love it. Love it.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, coming to you from the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17.
Buy or sell, we're going to start with Cleveland Browns head coach Freddie Kitchens indicating the days of inside information and unnamed sources and stuff like that have ended for the Cleveland Browns.
You know, the days of inside information and the days of unnamed sources and stuff like that have ended. So you're not going to get any information like that ever. Anybody. And if I ever see it, they're fired immediately.
Whoa, they're fired immediately if there's any anonymous leaks. Buy or sell that, Plaschke.
I'm selling it. Here it comes. All the talk about how great the Browns are going to be and how exciting they're going to be. Everyone said quietly, wait a minute, their head coach has never coached in the NFL before as a head coach. And sure enough, here it is, acting like a rookie head coach, being distracted by things that shouldn't distract him, causing his own distractions. I can't sell this enough, and I can't sell the fact that Freddie Kitchens perhaps has flunked his first test.
Sarah Spain?
Yeah, I'm selling this. First of all, that's a message you put in your meetings to your staff, not to the media, so that your staff hears it and then figures out that they're not supposed to leak something. And Bob Wiley is the guy who caused this, the guy who had some comments about whether Freddie Kitchens should have been hired as the head coach. He's currently unemployed. All you need to say is, I respect Bob. He said what he said. I got to get to the work that's in front of me, which is being a head coach in the NFL. I agree with Bill. This is not a great start.
Luke Gutierrez?
While it is very much on brand with this team to be overconfident and brash and everything else, you're supposed to create this type of culture. You're not just supposed to say, hey, this is the way we're going to go about it. When down the road, there is a story on the Browns with an unnamed source. Now this creates a story. Who said it? Maybe this person's going to be fired. There's going to be more conversation around the team. Unnecessary.
Kevin Blackstone. And not only that, but to say that in front of the media is like chum in the water and he's just turned them all into sharks. I know that if I were reporting up in Cleveland, I'm after every unnamed source I can find. I'm going to churn out every story I can uncover.
Buy or sell two, the hottest team in baseball since the All-Star break. Any guesses? Anybody? Anybody? Come on. It says it right on the screen right there, guys. The New York Baseball Mets. They're 57-56 now on the season. Back in this thing, manager Mickey Callaway says. Buy or sell this thing and whether the Mets are back in it, Sarah.
I'm buying that it's fun for Mets fans to have something to be invested in. I'm buying that they're redeeming themselves for questionable moves before the trade deadline that none of us really understood. I guess they are buyers. I guess they are contending. I'm selling that they're really in it. I think there are 7 teams that are 3.5 back of the wild card. There's a whole lot that still needs to happen for them to take over that spot and make
Real
the postseason.
Real Gutierrez?
I turned on this game for one pitch. I saw a 3-2 pitch to Pete Alonso. He hit it out and obviously celebrated like it was the postseason. And I said, what's going on here with the Mets?
All right.
Look at that. They're 2.5 games back. And they look really good. They're the second best ERA since the break. And they've got the Nationals and the Braves coming up starting this weekend. So they might be in
it. So they have your curiosity and they have your attention. How about you, Kevin Blackstone?
Yeah, I wouldn't want to look over my back and see the Mets gaining on you. I mean, the Nats and the Phillies have 59 wins apiece. They're at the top of that wild card heap. Everybody else is in there at 57, 56 wins, and they're right there too. And they have added pitching now. Anything can happen.
Bill Plaschke.
They have at least as much chance as the Chicago Cubs have at this point, I would
Yo!
Say. It's the truth. It's the truth, and you know it. Their starting pitch is unbelievable. Again, second best since the All-Star break, fifth best overall starting ERA this year. Syndergaard, Wheeler, added Stroman. I mean,
What's the point? DeGrom. Yeah, I mean, yeah. They have a Cy Young on staff. They have Syndergaard. They have the pitching to make you think anything's possible. Although, Plaschke, I would not advise going after Sarah Spain that way with the Cubs. I just wouldn't. It hasn't worked out well for you.
Well,
in the
why
past.
Not? It's the facts. It's the facts right now.
Okay, sure. Good luck with that. Buy or sell three, being sent to the showers because you're hitting too hard in training camp. Texans rookie defensive back Lonnie Johnson Jr. Multiple hits in this joint practice with the Packers. Israel Gutierrez, he had an Instagram post. Check this out. He later deleted it, but he was at least aware of these hits. Do you think it's a lesson he's learned?
It doesn't feel like he's learned it. It's something that he did twice, supposedly, in non-contact drills, and said that just he wants to be great. This is not how you become great. This is how you become or how you gain a reputation.
AB? Yeah, he probably should have been tossed after the first hit. Shouldn't have gotten a second chance. I mean, why should someone in a shared practice be treated for a possible concussion? That's absolutely ridiculous. Learn the lesson now.
What bothered me was that O'Brien said this is no big deal. This makes me wonder about the culture of the Texans and whether this guy's been doing this in practice all along since back in March and how they're enabling it and subtly encouraging this. That's a problem.
Sarah Spain.
Yeah, this doesn't make a good name for you. This shows disrespect for your opponents that you're in a non-contact, non-tackle session and you're still trying to show them up and get something done like this. And I agree with Bill. With O'Brien, he's saying this is no big deal while LaFleur's saying it is. And that makes you wonder if behind the scenes he's giving him a pat on the back and, oh, I like your moxie, son, as he's laying out dudes that are defenseless and not expecting him.
Good point.
You know he is.
And you agreed with Bill, so Bill gets some of those points for his yearly scoring average. Won't do him any
good
right
now. Just about
that. But you guys, I think you need to have a word about this whole Cubs-Dodgers war you guys have going on. Gutierrez, Blackstone, that's a showdown. That's next in 2 minutes. Stick around.
there's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
Gutierrez Blackstone showdown. Two incredible scenes in baseball yesterday. Say hello to the Diaz family. Pop was being interviewed while Isan hit his first home run. It was all caught on camera and microphone. Say hello to the Martini family. Nick's home run for the A's in Chicago, the city he grew up in. Gentlemen, let's play the feud. Israel, whose family did it best?
I mean, it's got to be the Marlins. Not only was it happening while he was being interviewed there, not only did he follow up with a great shout out to all the family members right afterward and mention that we hit one off to Gronk. That's family. Right?
But you got to love the other one because it's in his place. That's his home. That's where he grew up. And to see that, how many of us could do that? You know, write our first column, our first story in the place that we grew up and have mom and dad and all the family celebrate it. That's tremendous.
I imagine your parents being interviewed while you were writing your first column. I don't think he's going to make deadline. I don't think he's got a shot. Incredible. Perfect. This is what it's all about. You both get a point. We move on. Best save off of a bike. Follow me here, okay? J.J. Watt, after riding and breaking the kid's bicycle, doing the whole Packer custom, he bought a new bike, but Steve Odendahl, motorcyclist in the Grand Prix. Talk about a save on a bike. KB, first to you.
Oh, it's got to be the save on this bike right here. A motorized thing going who knows how fast, and that guy hangs on to it and stays upright. I mean, all J.J. Watt was going to suffer was maybe a little bump on his knee. Come on.
I mean, the save on the motorbike, isn't that just how the Flintstones all rode motorcycles anyway? I've seen that for hundreds of years. J.J. Watt doing a great thing. I don't even know how he fit on that bike, but broke the bicycle, got a new one. Good job, J.J.
Appreciate a good Flintstone reference, but it's not enough for the FaceTime. Kevin Blackstone, 30 seconds.
The world learned today that we lost one of our greatest writers, Toni Morrison, at age 88, first black woman to win the Nobel Prize for Literature. And in between all of her great novels, Beloved and Sula and Song of Solomon and The Bluest Eye, her first, she wrote a sports book. She wrote or edited The Greatest, which was about Ali. She couldn't stand boxing, didn't have much of a taste for sports, but she was so attracted to the aura of Ali that she contributed her great talents to putting together his story. Toni Morrison, a life.
Well done, Kevin.
Celebrate.
That's going to do it for us. See you tomorrow, 23 and a half hour break.